Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Our Father is faithful. He's awesome. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our glory. And we honor Him tonight for another precious opportunity that He has given to us to come together around the Word of God to study His Word with the saints. Amen and amen. I hope you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord in this season. I hope you and your family are blessed and doing well, staying strong in the Lord, staying focused on God. Hallelujah. Standing strong, standing firm on the Word of God, and continuing to press on to be everything that the Lord has destined for you to be in this season, in this year. Hallelujah. I was thinking about this earlier. It's truly amazing how wonderful it is to walk with the Lord. Just walking with Jesus, walking with God, walking with the Holy Spirit is the most priceless gift, the best gift, I believe, that any human on this earth could have. You know, how God takes us from one degree of glory to another. Sometimes we arrive at a point and we, within ourselves, we start getting a sense of like we've arrived somewhere, like we know some things, we've accomplished some things, we feel good. And just while we are about there, coasting and feeling good about where we have arrived at, suddenly the Lord picks us up again. And the Lord says, all right, come on, let's go on to the next level. And He reveals something to us that we didn't know before. He opens our eyes and shows us something and teaches us something that we didn't know, that we had no idea of. And some of those things are things about Himself. Some of those things are things about ourselves, things to help us live a better quality of life, things to help us walk better, walk closely, walk more intimately with Him. You know, this happens to me all the time. And I'm there and I'm going, Lord, You are truly amazing. Father, You're truly amazing. I mean, so this was there and I didn't know that I needed to grow in this area as well. And I thought I was doing really well. And the Lord said, come on, let's go. Come on, come on, come on, let's go. There's just no depth. Like the apostle said, there is no depth to the riches of our God. No depth to the riches of His wisdom. His wisdom truly is unsearchable. Hallelujah. And the more we walk with Him, the further along we get and go with Him, the more we find out, the more we discover there's still so much more that we don't know yet. Can you imagine Apostle Paul in Philippians 3? This man who said he was lifted up to the heavens and had this supernatural encounter. This man who saw Jesus on the way to Damascus, this man who spoke to God face, like he could hear the voice of God, this man who accomplished so much, and yet in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, he's saying that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I'm like, Lord, this man knows You, but look at what he said. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. Almost expressing his desperation to know God. More. 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 And more. And more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. That just gets me every time I read it. Every time. That just does something new to me. With how much he knew of the Lord, how much he walked with God, he was still desperately seeking after him. In Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. This man who knew so much about the Lord and so much of the Lord, who walked with God so closely, and yet he said, I press toward the mark. Oh, that's just glorious, my friends. that is just glorious. That is just amazing. And I'm sure each and every one of us, I'm sure you experience this from time to time. And just that pull from within our spirit, where we hear the voice of God calling us to a higher place in him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Wherever you're joining us from in the world, whatever platform you're joining us on, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm really excited for us to get into the Word of God. I see we already got in. I mean, we didn't even waste any time. We haven't prayed yet, but that train already left the station. Glory to God. His revelation knowledge is flowing. The Spirit of God is moving. Hallelujah. And wherever you are tonight, I trust God that you are doing well. The Lord is with you right there. You are not alone. He's working on your behalf. God is arranging things. He's putting things in place, putting certain things in order to bring you to the expected end that he has prepared for you. Can you say amen? Let's share a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you so much. What a privilege it is to know you, to call you Father. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to be able to come together tonight again with the saints around the Word of God. Father, to be able to receive the things that you have prepared for us. We open our hearts. We yield to you. Precious Holy Spirit, touch us. Breathe upon us. Fill us with soundness of wisdom and soundness of knowledge. Grant us fresh revelation. Let manna, fresh manna from heaven, be our portion and our lot tonight. I give you the glory and the praise for everyone under the sound of my voice, all of my brothers and sisters, everyone, wherever they are joining us from. I bless them and their loved ones. I bless them and their families. Do something supernatural in every life tonight. Lord, grant us great grace, illumination, understanding in the spirit. I thank you for it, Father. I give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Woo, glory to God. Amen and amen. Thank you so much again and welcome. We are talking, we're studying the theme that we have titled, Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. And let's go all the way back there to our home scripture in Isaiah chapter 55. We took a long break. And so last week we started to do a mini revision to try to help us catch up to where we need to be going. I think this will be the second session of that mini revision. And as the Lord launches us right back, catches us up back to where we were earlier on in the summer. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55. And this is verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain that comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Your thoughts, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. When our thoughts become aligned with the thoughts of God, and we can walk in his ways, we walk in his ways, we think like him, we act like him, we talk like him, then our lives become elevated. God raises us up supernaturally. Something happens to us. See how he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. Well, when we begin to think like him, we are elevated to live a good life, to live a heaven-blessed life. Hallelujah. And our experience becomes totally different from the experiences of the world around us. Glory to God. We look at ourselves sometimes and we wonder, is this really a life experience I'm having? Is this real? Sometimes you pinch yourself and you wonder, because it's so supernatural. It's so higher and it's so above what the natural person experiences, that you know, we all know, this is different. And the Bible is telling us the way we get there is by renovating our minds so that we can think like God. And when we begin to think like God and act like God, we become elevated. Hallelujah. See where it says right there in Romans chapter 12 from verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That is, don't be agreeable. Don't become fashioned like the world. The word conformed, the definition of that word in the Amplified, from the Amplified version, it says, don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs. Don't be fashioned after the world's external superficial customs. Don't be adapted to the world. Don't become like the world. Don't think like the world. You know, so many believers, even though we are believers, we think like the world. Hey, listen, I don't have a lot of time to talk about that tonight. Let's not think like the world. Let's commit to thinking like God. Everything that happens in our lives, let our first response be godly. Let our first response not be the same response that the world has. Let the words, you know, that psalmist prayed, he prayed that prayer, powerful prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Amen. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, the thoughts of my mind, be acceptable to you. Help me to not be conformed to this world. Help me to not adopt as my lifestyle pop culture. Help me to not follow the train, the popular train that everybody is on. Help me to be like you. What a prayer. What a glorious, powerful prayer. Help me to think like you. Hallelujah. He says, don't be conformed, be not conformed to this world. But he says, be transformed. And the word transforming, changed. Changed from the Greek word metamorpho, means radically changed, transformed. Go through a metamorphosis, a supernatural change. Even though it's supernatural, it has to happen first at the level of our minds. It begins in our spirit, but it has to happen at the level of our minds. Be supernaturally changed. Be supernaturally transformed. Be transfigured, like Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, where everything about him just changed, took on a glorious form. Bible says, let our minds become changed like that. Something has to happen. Now, even though it's a supernatural process, it's a supernatural event, it engages our mind. Our minds must be engaged in this. We must be willing to offer up unto God. It says that offer unto God your bodies as a living sacrifice. As we offer unto God our bodies, we must also offer unto God our minds. When we offer unto God our bodies, Lord, my body is your temple. Hallelujah. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I offer it unto you as a holy gift, a gift that is acceptable unto you. Well, at the same time, we must offer up our minds. That means we must make a conscious decision, a quality decision, to begin to think like God. Notice it says, be not conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to the world, fashioned after and adapted after its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by his new ideals and his new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable in his sight. It is the renovation of our minds that enable us to experience the good life. He uses the word to prove, but that word prove also means to experience the good, the acceptable will of God. Hallelujah. To be transformed in our minds. It's a process, but it's a supernatural process, but it's a supernatural process that begins by us making a quality decision to engage our minds and offer them up to God. When we offer our minds to God, then we are yielding to God and we're saying, I'm no longer going to think like the world. The Word of God is going to become the focus, is going to become the direction, is going to become the basis of every thought and every decision that I make in my life. That is powerful, my friends. Says, don't be conformed to this world. And you know, in 2 Corinthians 6:14, that's where we read that a few months ago, come out from among them, he said. Come out. So we have to come out. We have to become separate. We have to be separated so that we can be elevated. Until we are separated, we are not elevated. If we continue to think like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, we cannot be elevated. Even though elevation is available to us in Christ, even though elevation has been prepared for us in Christ, until we come out from amongst them and become separate and begin to think differently and begin to talk differently, and begin to act differently, we can enjoy the elevation that God has prepared for us. That is the essence of this entire series of teachings. How to go through the process, constantly go through the process of renovating our minds so that our lives can become elevated. That's the journey that we have been on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believes with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, he says, come out from among them, verse 17, and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. When we become transformed in our thinking, in our minds, and we have come out, we have become separated, or we are in the process of being separated from the world, one of the things we find begins to happen is we can determine what we think. We can determine what we think. Thoughts will try to come into our minds. And of course, you know, as we go, we're going to go back and start talking about the steps, the actual steps to renovating our minds. We started that earlier in the summer before we took our break, started talking about brainwashing our minds with the truth of the Word of God. That's a complete U-turn for a believer, to brainwash our minds with the truth of the Word of God. To realize, we're going to get there, we're going to go back there. The Lord is taking us back there. We can get back and talk about that. That's so rich, so deep, it's so powerful. But to get to a point where the only thing that is acceptable to you, the only thing that is acceptable to me, is the truth in the Word of God. I don't want to hear about popular opinion. I don't want to hear what they said. I don't want to hear what the media said. I don't want to hear what the government said. I don't want to hear what my BF said. My BFF said. I don't want to hear what my someone in my family said, my grandfather. No. I want to hear what did the Lord say. Because everything the Lord says, once the Lord says this, it becomes truth. To brainwash myself, my mind, fully embrace the truth of the Word of God, brainwash my mind with the truth of the Word of God, is really the first step that we must take in the process of renovating our minds. Glory to God. Now, one of the things we'll begin to see is we'll begin to determine what we think. Where thoughts are trying to get into our minds. Thoughts are trying to get into our minds from the world. Thoughts are trying to get into our minds from popular opinion, tradition, customs, family, this and friends and society and media. And we find that there's a fencing around our minds, where there's a filter, there's a fencing and a filter where we don't accept every thought that comes. We don't just accept every thought that comes. I don't care how popular it is. I don't care how nice it sounds. If it's not from the Word of God, it's not truth. And so in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, you see where the apostle said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. And don't just think about them, do them. You see the next verse? The next verse is, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And then what will happen? The God of peace shall be with you. The God of shalom shall be with you. Notice now. Notice where it all begins from the commitment we make at the level of our mind. What we think, what we will accept. what will we think upon? I know people have wondered, oh, Pastor, you mean I can determine what I think? Yes, you can. You cannot determine the thoughts that try to get into your mind. You can't determine the thoughts that you find sometimes in your mind, but you can determine what you think. There are thoughts that come into your mind, and you have to say to those thoughts, get out. There are thoughts that come into your mind, and you have to say to those thoughts, I bind you in the name of Jesus. There are thoughts that come into your mind, and you have to say, that's not my thought. That's not my thought. I refuse that thought. I reject it. Right? And then you take the thoughts of God that pass this test. Right? You filter them by this scripture. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If there is no praise in it, why would you think about it? If there's no virtue in it, if there isn't something worthy of rejoicing over, why would you think about it? If there isn't something that glorifies God, why would you think about it? Right? And then once you take it through that filter, then the next thing in that next verse, he says, those things that you have both learned. Now, this the thoughts that come through, these thoughts become actions. So he says here in this scripture, those things that you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. And then what will happen? The God of Shalom, the God of peace, shall be with you. This is so powerful that when we get in that process of daily renovating our minds, we begin to gain more control over what we think. That thing people say sometimes, well, you know, I don't know, I can't help myself. You know, I can't stop the thoughts from coming. That's a lie. If that was not a lie, the Bible would not say, think on these things. If you and I couldn't determine what we thought, what we thought about, the Bible wouldn't say, think on these things. Hallelujah. And of course, the first requirement to renovating our mind, the most significant, most important requirement is humility. Humility eliminates all arguments. Humility eliminates all controversies. Where some people raise arguments, or you just don't understand my situation, you just don't get it, you know, you don't feel what I feel, you just don't know, you haven't been in my shoes. Humility eliminates all that, right? Humility is the most significant, most important requirement for the renovation of the mind. What is humility? Denying ourselves. Remember, in this same Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 and in the Amplified, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Let Christ Jesus be your example in humility. We know there are two ways the renovation of the mind happens. There are two major ways the renovation of the mind happens, right? And the Bible tells us that very clearly in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. We're going to come back in a minute to humility. I want to just say one or two more things about humility before I leave it alone tonight. There are two major ways in which the renovation of the mind happens. Number one is by the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God. So the Word washes us. Washing of regeneration. The Word cleanses our mind. The Word cleanses our bodies. The Word washes us. It cleanses us. Washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God. And the second way, the second aspect to the renovation of the mind is by the active transformation work, renovation work, renewal work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Both of these activities, both of these two things, these two ways in which a believer's mind is renovated, both of those minds require the most important requirement for those two events, for those two things to happen in our lives, is humility. When the Word of God is washing, right, we yield to it. We don't make excuses. We don't argue. We don't argue with it. How many times has the Word of God brought something to our attention, and sometimes in our foolishness, we argue with it? You just don't understand. You just don't get it. No. We yield. Humility, we yield to the Word of God. No excuses. And even if there's some aspects, because when the Word of God brings correction and the Word of God brings a redirection in our thoughts and in the things that we're doing, the Lord isn't suggesting, isn't telling us everything we're doing is wrong. But even if 20%, 30%, 40%, 2%, 3% is wrong, the Word of God is going to come to bring a cleansing of that 2% so that we can be whole, so that we can fully embrace the truth of the Word of God. Well, when the Word of God brings correction, humility is required. Humility is required to say, yes, Lord, don't argue. You check. Are you humble? Do you have humility before God? If you have humility before God, you will not be like an attorney in his presence. Always raising up a defense. Always raising up an argument. No, you will not be. You'll be like that defenseless person who goes, yes, Lord, I yield to your word. I yield to your way. Doesn't mean you are like a zombie, but it means you are completely sold out to the will of God. You are willing to be transformed by the Word of God in your mind. And you will not be conformed to the world. So ask yourself tonight, are you humble? Are you humble? Right? When washing of regeneration by the water of the word, or renewing or renovation or renewal or transformation of the Holy Spirit comes, what's your attitude? What's your response? I know it's very easy for all of us. I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there, to try to make excuses and try to say you just don't understand. Well, if you experience what I experience, you will see it. You will see it from my point of view. We're not talking about your point of view. We're talking about the truth of the Word of God. We're talking about the humility that is needed to embrace the truth of the Word of God. Look at it in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, right? Glory to God. Those two ways, right? Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. But after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior appeared toward man, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. He saved us. Like our souls need to be saved. James chapter 1, let's read from verse 19 to 21. James chapter 1 from verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, verse 21, lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness or humility the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with humility the engrafted word which is able to save or sozo your souls. The same way we are saved in our spirit, our souls must be saved by the word of God. And what the Bible telling us is the requirement for that to happen. It says that we must lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness. Meekness, that's it. Humility. Meekness. And be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Meekness, the most significant key, the most significant requirement for the renovation of the mind is humility. Humility or meekness, the willingness to deny ourselves and yield to the word of God and the Holy Spirit, is the most important requirement for the renovation and salvation of the soul. Just yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word without making excuses or being resistant to it. Just yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. It's how renovation of the mind happens. Let's make a song out of it. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. Let's do it again. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. It's very simple. It's not complicated at all. It's not complicated at all. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. Yield to the Holy Spirit and do the word. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's not complicated at all. Let's not allow Satan to create complications. Yield to the Holy Spirit, do the word. Humility. Humility is the key. Humility is required. Remember, several months ago, I heard the Holy Spirit say, God cannot raise to life something that's not dead. The only way we will ever experience the power of the resurrection is that we die to self. We take up our cross, deny ourselves every day, and follow him as the fellowship of his suffering. That scripture we read earlier on in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, where Paul said, that I may know him. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Well, the Lord said, God cannot raise to life something that is not dead. You cannot, and I cannot experience the power of his resurrection until we die to self. You cannot and I cannot. We cannot experience the power of his resurrection until we die to self. Until we learn every day to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and to follow him. It's self-evident. How do I know that I have denied myself? How do I know I am denying myself? Is that self has zero. He has zero input in the decisions that I'm making. Self has zero input. Myself has zero input in the decisions that I'm making. How do I know I'm denying myself every day? Is that myself has zero input in the decisions that I'm making. It has zero input in the way I respond to life. It has zero input in the way I approach things. It has zero input in the thoughts that permeate my mind. To deny myself, take up my cross. What is that? Take up my cross. What cross? Take up my cross. What does the cross of Jesus, what does the cross of Christ represent? It represents his yieldedness to God to be willing to go and pay the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. It represents his yieldedness to God to take up his cross, to be willing to deny himself. What does it mean to deny yourself? That's my self-will, my self-interest is not at the forefront of my decisions or my thinking. That's what it means to deny yourself. My self-will. If the Lord says, go left, you go left. If the Lord says, go right, you go right. And if the Lord uses people to tell you, go left, you go left. If he uses somebody to tell you, go right, you go right. As long as you know it's the Lord using that person. You don't bring up yourself. Yeah, but it's inconvenient to go left, right? But it's gonna, it might hurt me, it might cost me something, it might cost me my money, it might cost me my comfort, it might cost me my convenience, it might make people take advantage of me if I do that. That's all you. That's all you. That's how we know. That's how we know you have not carried that cross. That's how we know you have not died to self. To deny yourself. Let's go and read this scripture in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Remember, God cannot raise to life something that's not dead. You and I cannot walk in the power of his resurrection until we die to self. Until we know the fellowship of his suffering. Say, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering be made conformable unto his death. I know we love the first part, that I may know him. And we love the second part and the power of his resurrection. All of us want to enjoy the power of his resurrection. But how about the third part? To know the fellowship of his suffering. And the fourth part, to be made conformable unto his death. To conform unto his death. Amen. How does that happen? To die to self. To take up our cross every day. To follow him. Renovation of the mind will never happen without a commitment that a believer makes. A quality commitment that a believer makes. To deny themselves every day, to take up their cross, to follow him, to live their lives in humility. You will never know, you will never experience a renovation of the mind. Remember that scripture we read in Romans chapter 12 where it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, you offer unto God your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and acceptable unto him. And then it says, therefore, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may know, or you may prove that which is God's acceptable, perfect, and his good, acceptable, perfect will. Remember, it begins with offering to God what's most precious to us. First, he said, offer unto God your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Offer unto God a living sacrifice, your body. And then he says, in your mind, be not conformed to the world, but be renewed by the transformation of your mind. So that means I'm offering my body to God. I'm offering my mind to God. We are offering to the Lord the most important things in our lives. Without that, the renovation of our minds will be a pipe dream. Humility is required. Let's go and read this scripture quickly in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, I want to hit one last point before we go here after this. Let's read the scripture first. Mark chapter 8, 8:31 to 35. Glory to God. Mark chapter 8, 31 to 35. All I don't know about that. If I begin to deny myself, people will take advantage of me. If I begin to yield, if I begin to act like that, people will think I'm a fool. You think Jesus thought about that when the Lord told him to carry his cross and to go die for the sins of humanity? You think Jesus thought, they may think I'm a fool? And if he thought that, then how did he respond to it? Did he respond to it by putting himself first? Or did he respond to it by denying himself? By denying himself. The renovation of the mind. Remember, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. The world wants you and I to be a certain way. The world wants to influence you and I. There are a plethora of influencers all around the world trying to make us a certain way. They want to make us think a certain way. They want to make us act a certain way. They want to make us eat certain kinds of food. They want to make us wear certain kinds of clothes. They want to make us pursue certain kinds of relationships. They want to make us think in a certain set of ways. These influencers in the world. They want to make us approach our money in a certain way. And if you note, most of those influencers are focused on me. It's always me. It's always me. It's always them. Everything this is always them. Mostly about how to make you look good. How to make people approve of you. How to make you stand out. How to make you earn the most for yourself. How to make you... He's always me. The world is out to make us think in a certain way. What is that way? To put ourselves first always. It's me. The song that the world wants us to sing is a me song. It's how I appear, how I look, how I taste, it's me. Renovation of the mind is going to take the attention away from you, from me, and it's going to put it on the Word of God. So deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. You see, we're completely contrary to where the world wants us to go. Let's read this real quickly in Mark chapter 8. Look at it in verse 31. Mark chapter 8 and verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of God, the Son of Man, must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spoke that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Why? Because Peter was hearing him talking about he's going to deny himself, he's going to go and suffer, he's going to go and give up his life. He's like, no, we're not doing that. No, don't say that. We're here to build a kingdom. We're here to get big time. We're here to have our names in neon lights. Don't be talking about suffering. No. What's going on with Peter? He's conformed to the way the world thinks. And it's difficult for him to accept what Jesus is saying, to embrace what Jesus is saying, a life of suffering that doesn't put the focus on me, but puts the focus on others. No. Peter's like, no, let's not talk about that. Let's not do that. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, verse 33. But when Jesus turned about, he looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men, of the world." See how diametrically opposed to the things of God the world is. This is why the renovation of the mind cannot happen until we come out of the world. Until we make a commitment to separate ourselves from the world. We can't think like them. We can't act like them. We can't do things like them. We can't talk like them. We can't behave like them. We can't imbibe their values. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." It's Mark chapter 8, verse 34. "Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. That's the way to be conformed to God, to think like God, to act like God. The opposite way is the way of the world. Deny himself, right? "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself." The world says, no, don't deny yourself. Promote yourself. That's what the world says. Promote yourself. Push yourself forward. Aggrandize yourself. There might be short-term benefits to that too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that is absolutely not beneficial. There could be some short-term benefits to that. The problem is those short-term benefits will not last. And they are going to keep taking you off of the course that the Lord wants you to walk on. You are going to have to keep pushing yourself. Remember the Bible says in Psalm 75, promotion does not come from the west, from the south, from the east. It says it comes from God. He lifts one up and puts another down. Now, you can let God promote you or you can promote you. And I guarantee if you promote you using the principles of the world, it's not going to last. That promotion is not going to last. And it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you peace. It's going to cost you joy. It's going to cost you favor in other areas of your life. The promotion that God gives causes you to live a good life, a heaven-blessed life. You don't have to give up any good thing that God has given you. That promotion from the world, you will have to give up. You will have to give up. And they are very costly. Some of those things you give up, you may never get them back. Deny himself. The world says, no, promote yourself. Take up his cross. No. The world says, avoid every kind of suffering. Avoid every kind of self-denial, every kind of sacrifice. Take it all for yourself. Take it all for yourself. Don't think about other people. Don't think about other people. And then follow me. The world says, follow him if it's convenient. If it's not convenient, sorry, we can't do that. Humility is required. Now, let me close out tonight. Our time is gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Thank you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One of the most important things about our thoughts and the thoughts that we allow, sometimes thoughts become strongholds in our lives. Even though we are talking about the renovation of the mind, you find that a lot of believers have real difficulty in actually consistently getting their minds renovated. Not because they don't know the principles, not because they don't hear messages or teachings that show them how to do it, but because there are strongholds that have been built in their minds over time. This is why it's very important that as early as possible, we begin to renovate our minds with the Word of God. the more we yield to the world, the more we follow the patterns of the world, the more we think like the world, the more we do things like the world, the more we open up ourselves to strongholds that then need to be broken. Because the renovation of the mind is supposed to be 1, 2, 3, 4 every day. 1, 2, 3, 4 every day. 1, 2, 3. And just on and on like that. We start the cycle again the next day. But for a lot of believers, it's never 1, 2, 3, 4. It's just so hard. It's just so hard. It's so hard. It's so complicated. It's so hard. You know why? Because there are strongholds that have been built over time. It can break free. And sometimes it's so crucial in order for us to be able to enjoy the blessings of renovation in our minds. We have to go first through a series of things to a freedom ministry to break that yoke, the stronghold of the devil over our minds. I want to read this scripture before I close out tonight. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We live in this world, but we don't live like the world. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." A destruction of strongholds sometimes needs to happen for us to be able to re-enter into the process of renovating our minds. Strongholds build up over time. So as a believer, I can't afford to allow the enemy, the world, take us in a certain direction, to fashion us after himself. And if you find a struggle in any area of life, and you're trying to break free to think right and to do right, and it's a struggle, there might be a need to break these strongholds first. The power of God to do it is right here. As we continue on, we're going to take on, receive impartation, knowledge, revelation of the truth to help us live this life, but also break the power of these strongholds over our lives. Father, we thank you so much for your word tonight. We give you glory and praise. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have released over us. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. I give you the glory for it. Thank you because your word is taking hold in our lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us every day. Deny ourselves, carry us our cross, and follow you. Thank you for helping us separate from the world to think like you so we can live a heavenly quality of life. I give you praise, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much, saints, for being with us tonight. Our time is up. Our time is so far gone. I look forward to seeing you again. Same time next week. God bless you. Good night.